The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
We welcome you back. We'll talk to a writer who has done a dive into whether or not college football programs are purposely getting COVID, thinking it may help with herd immunity. On top of that, I just read a story out of Alabama. It seems like all the interesting stories come from there today, where students in Tuscaloosa, this is according to a local television station, students in Alabama, in Tuscaloosa, who have been diagnosed with COVID have been attending parties in the city and surrounding areas as part of a disturbing contest to see who can catch the virus first. This is according to a city council member telling the ABC affiliate in Alabama. Tuscaloosa City Councilor Sonia McKinstry said students have been organizing COVID parties as a game to intentionally infect each other with a contagion that has, of course, killed more than 128,000 people. She said the organizers of the party are purposely inviting guests who have COVID. They put money in a pot, and then they try to get COVID. Whoever gets COVID first gets the pot. It makes no sense. Obviously, do we really need the... This is a story that started as a rumor, and I've heard the rumor several times, and now it seems like it is a fact. Again, we'll talk to a writer who has spoken with epidemiologists around the country, and will answer the question, is it a good thing to get it? Will that prevent you from getting it again? Kevin is up next in Nashville, Tennessee. Hello, Kevin.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing today, bud?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Hey, I just wanted to call and give you a little bit of insight, my experience here in Nashville, talking about racial justice, racial inequities. I'm a criminal defense attorney here, so I've been working in the courts here for the past 13 years. And to say that law enforcement, ends up coming down harder on black and brown people is a serious understatement. I did want to give a shout out to the local district attorney, Mr. Glenn Funk, who today announced that Nashville and Davidson County would no longer be prosecuting simple possession of marijuana cases. And I actually caught him today at the elevator in our office building. And I said, Mr. Funk, thank you for what you're doing. And he said that he's already catching heat from the state legislature, who said that that might be taking away his discretion when it comes to that. But he said, if you just look at the numbers, the chances of a young black man getting incarcerated for simple possession outstrips that of a young white man by a ratio of 1-3. And there's nothing that shows that the black people are out there using marijuana any more than white people. So there are things that can be done to address this stuff in different ways. So I'm happy that our local officials are being a little bit more creative with how they're addressed.
And Kevin, being in criminal defense, I don't even know where to start because, representation is so critical. And, I'm just an observer from afar. You're in the middle of it. But the odds on a random arrest of that person being able to get quality representation, what is it?
Well, here in Nashville, we're lucky. We've got a great public defender office here, one that I was proud to work at for 5 years straight out of law school coming out of Vanderbilt, and it's one of the best in the country. But you still got to have people who care. You still got to have people who are going to actually go to the wall for you. And we are, trying to kind of instill in most of the defense bar around here, there's no small cases, right? Every case. Every instance of somebody getting arrested can have a dramatic effect on the rest of their lives. So, getting quality representation is a huge bar to justice in this country. But, what I'd like to think is that myself and a lot of my colleagues who do a lot of appointed work for the state, we bring that as much as we can. Now, getting the district attorney on board, that's a big turning point. So we're really happy about that today here.
Well, that is fantastic. Fantastic. And I'm glad to hear that about the public defender. I've had relatives and friends who have worked for public defender's offices, and I mean, I'd always heard, I mean, they're just so overwhelmed that's the difficulty of that representation. I'm glad to hear in Nashville, it is improving.
Yes, absolutely it is. And that's due to the efforts of all the great elected public defenders we've had over the years, with Ross Alderman, who passed away way too soon, Don Diener, and now Martisa Johnson. I worked there for 5 years, fresh out of law school. Couldn't have had a better training on how to practice law, and couldn't have had a better introduction on how to practice law than there. And I just think that we should be funding these offices more. We should be funding our indigent defense funds statewide more. And if we can make a change there, you're going to see a big change in the populace as well.
Thank you so much for sharing that. Really helpful.
Appreciate you, Paul. Thank you.
You bet. Great to have you on. That's a really interesting call there. Let's go to Joseph next in Tennessee. Hello, Joseph.
Hey, how are you, Mr. Paul?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Good deal. I don't want to say much. I don't want to, you know, there's other people have important things to say more than what I have to say. But the guy who pointed out the Harvard study is the first person to use statistics that you didn't get upset with. And he also cited his source. And God bless that man, because everything he said was very thoughtful. And I'm really happy that there are people out there who understand, you know, the issues we're having. Also, I just have a quick question, and we can stop it. Who is the guy who calls you Coach Feinbaum?
That's Andre from Atlanta. He's a truck driver who's been calling the LSU fan who's been calling the show for many, many years.
Andre, okay. I'm a truck driver too. Andre, if you're listening, brother, I love you. You need to call more. You're positive. I can tell that you're like a legitimately good person, and I need to hear you more, brother.
Hey, thank you for saying that. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Again, appreciate everyone calling. A lot of different thoughts. Mitch is up next in South Carolina. Hello, Mitch.
Hello, Mr. Feinbaum. How are you?
I am well. Thank you for calling.
I just got my heart broken. Our governor just announced, because we are rising rapidly in the state of South Carolina with COVID positives, and today was the deadliest day in our state so far, and the most hospitalizations in the state so far. Our governor just announced that if we can't get it under control, he is not going to allow college football or high school football. Because right now, any spectator sport is banned in the state of South Carolina.
It's Governor McMaster. I've had the opportunity to meet him and interview him a few times. That's quite a statement to make in South Carolina.
It is, but it is also the toughest statement he has made so far, because they were asking him.
I keep up with what he's been. I'm not that far away, so I'm pretty in tune with what he's been doing.
They were asking how could he help control it this weekend for 4th of July. He said, all I'm going to do is tell you that the mandate is still in effect, that there are no spectator events. And if we cannot get this under control, you're jeopardizing high school football and college football. Because they were asking him to mandate masks, and he said there's just not enough police to enforce the laws we already have.
Yeah, I just saw 1,500 new cases today for a state like South Carolina. That is an enormous amount.
And that's the number it's been for about a week now.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah, I know.
What
we're talking about here, and in the last week, all the good has gone down the drain. And I'm glad that, you know, we talked to governors and mayors, and I'm glad to see that they're in tune. The question, though, and I'm not being a defeatist here, a fatalist, but, you know, is it in time to save the season. I'm not sure it's in time to save the start of the season. And what I mean by that is, you could possibly see the leaders delay things a little bit, maybe to try to catch up. We may still be in that window, but man, everything else is up in the air.
But I think my overall big picture in this is I think that is speaking to how important football is to the South.
Yeah.
That is the threat that our governor feels like he has to use to get the message across, wear a mask. Well, if not, you won't get your football.
I'm only a couple of miles from your state, and until last weekend, I didn't see anybody taking it seriously.
Oh, they're not taking it seriously, period. My mother, she's not my mother. She's kind of sort of like a mom to me. Telling me today she was in a Starbucks. Well, I shouldn't say their name online. But two young men walked in, and she said, "Shouldn't you have a mask on?" And they looked at her and laughed.
Yeah. Oh, I have been the only person. I was someplace not long ago. I was the only person in there that had a mask on. I didn't stay long, I can tell you that.
And our city has an ordinance that you have to wear a mask inside of stores.
Yeah, but that's the problem, though, with the. I mean, every city now is rushing to adopt ordinances. I just don't know if law enforcement are going to enforce. Hey, thanks so much for the call. We're going to talk about the college football season in just a moment. We appreciate you being a part of the show. We're back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We welcome you back. So much conversation out there. I just read the story from Alabama where students are having parties to get COVID. There had been some conversation about football programs, maybe allowing it to go on. Henry Bushnell writes for Yahoo. He's done a really deep dive into this issue. Henry, thanks so much for joining us. What a fascinating conversation. Welcome.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Paul. And as you said, it's a very fascinating conversation. And it's interesting because there's a lot of superficial logic to it, but it's also complex in various ways, too.
So, I mean, Clemson, 38, LSU, all these other programs. I mean, you start thinking, man, doing the math, they'll be in great shape by the time we get to the season. But not after reading your article. Take us through your reporting process.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's such, obviously this idea is out there, especially with the numbers we're seeing out of college football programs, and some other sports too. And certainly, like, it's also just on the surface, it makes a lot of sense, right? Like, and even some of the medical experts I've talked to, like, understand why people are thinking this way, because these are athletes are in low risk demographics and they're likely to be asymptomatic or mildly symptomatic. And if they get it now, they think they'll be immune for the season. The issue, of course, is that, you know, and this is what the vast majority of experts I spoke with told me, is that, A, you don't know that you'll be fine. But I think more significantly, you don't know that you'll be immune. And that's really the big issue here, especially, you know, if you think about it, like, where we are right now, we're 6 months away, in theory, from the college football playoff, right? And the virus has only been in this country for, like, 4 or 5 months. So there's no way to know whether, you know, how long immunity will last. And, you know, a lot of some recent research suggests it might not be that long.
Yeah, and I'm really glad to hear that, because, and you know, you could just dial up your favorite epidemiologist, but it seems like most are saying the same thing, and they don't know. So, and also, Henry, as you pointed out, you may not die, you may not be hospitalized, but there's no guarantee it's not going to affect you.
Right, exactly. And I think that's one of the interesting parts of the research on immunity, is that there might be, like, if you have an asymptomatic case, that actually might mean you are immune for a less amount of time. So essentially, if you're asymptomatic, great, you know, you're not seriously affected in the immediate term, but the whole point of this, like, potentially being a competitive advantage kind of goes out the window if you're not immune for that long. And then if you're symptomatic, maybe you're immune for longer, but obviously that is an issue if you're symptomatic and you get seriously sick from this. And again, we still, because it's such a new virus, this is what all the experts say, we don't know about any long-term complications or anything like that. And most seem to think that if you're asymptomatic, there might not be too many long-term complications. The risk of that is relatively low, a lot of people think. But if you are symptomatic, you know, we really don't know kind of what the you know, a year down the road, what this virus will be doing to people's bodies.
No, and all this is happening as we are entering a fairly narrow window now. We've heard people in intercollegiate athletics talk about the asset of time. Well, I don't think that's out there any longer. So whether they find herd immunity or not, I wonder if it's almost working conversely, because these numbers being so high have to be having an impact on those who are making the decisions.
Right, absolutely. And yeah, there is still, you know, a lot of the medical experts do caution that, like, you know, we still don't know. We don't know where we're going to be in 2 months. But yeah, so first of all, I think one of the big wild cards here is just, specific to college football, like, we're seeing all these cases and teams in what is a relatively controlled environment, right? You know, summer on a college campus. And you compare that to what's going to, you know, come September, when students are going to be back, maybe not at all of these universities, but a lot of them. And that's kind of, you know, that's the, I think Lincoln Riley told our Pete Thamel a couple days ago that that's kind of like the scary thought. And, you know, it was interesting. One of the medical experts I actually interviewed, you know, we talked on the phone for about 30 minutes about this concept and other things. And he left it off on kind of, you know, the we don't know yet note. And then about an hour later, like, you know, 10 o'clock at night, he calls me back, having looked at some of the latest data and stuff. And he was, I'd say, semi-alarmed. And he says, quote, "I think it's unlikely that we're going to have anything like a normal season." So I think that's kind of, just given where the entire country is at, not necessarily these programs in particular, it's kind of getting frightening for some people.
Yeah. I cover this every day, and I think I've asked the same question 4 million times, and I still don't know. Maybe you got a better idea how they're ever going to come to this conclusion. Because you know, the science part of it is, I mean, these people are very alarming, are they not?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think that's a big question, not just for college football, but for any league. You know, in talking to some experts about the NBA and Major League Baseball. The one thing that they note that is kind of left out of all of these, you know, the NBA has this 100-plus page document that lays out everything, except, like, what the threshold is for having to shut things down or to either pause things or completely cancel things. And that's the thing, we have no idea what the threshold is for college football. I think a lot of people are alarmed that, especially in the, you know, in the medical community, a lot of people are alarmed that the threshold at a place like what we've seen at Clemson hasn't surpassed the threshold yet. So that, I guess that suggests that a lot of these schools are, that the threshold is pretty high. But yeah, you know, the interesting part about college athletics is just who is going to make these decisions, and how do you balance that these games are being played in all throughout the country, where, you know, some states are doing a lot better combating the virus than other states. So yeah, it's frankly, it just seems to me like a big mess.
Yeah, in the background, all you have to do is look up at any television network, and the numbers are exploding. And not to try to talk about quantitative statistics, of which I know nothing about, but it seems like these numbers, the projections are going to be bad, and that's probably about a 2 to 4 week period we're talking about, which comes right in the time when presidents have to start making the really tough decisions. Instead of talking about being hopeful, they're going to have to decide.
Right. And I think one thing that several experts have pointed out to me is that the steepness of the curve when it's rising, it's a lot steeper than when it's falling. So we see these big kind of exponential spikes, and then it takes a lot longer for the downward slope of the curve once we get past the plateau, which is another thing that is really worrying here.
Yeah, and not to get into the whole virus, but I mean, it seemed like early on it was primarily a New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, maybe Michigan, a little bit of New Orleans. I mean, this was not a nationwide issue, as all the governors tried to say, and now it is.
Right, exactly, and it's I'm not an expert on any of this. I just try to talk to as many as I can, but certainly, like, what we saw in New York, you know, 3 months ago is in some way equivalent to what we're seeing in a place like Arizona or Texas or Florida now, I would imagine. And, you know, it took, you know, and New York did get past it with a lot of strict public health policies. And I mean, they did some good things in their response. They did some poor things. And, you know, now it's it's up to the government, and I guess to some extent, by extension, you know, just the American people, like that is who is going to be responsible for us either having college football or not having college football. The schools have to make decisions based on everything that's going on around them.
Before you go, the professional leagues are all dealing with various issues, but I mean, what's the level of confidence that any of them are going? Baseball, I mean, hockey, I'll leave to someone else, but baseball and the NBA, I mean, what's the level of confidence they will get through this in the short term?
The NBA, the consensus is kind of that the NBA has, the NBA has the best plan, I'd say. And I think there is some, like, quiet confidence that it at least looks good on paper, and it might have the best chance to work. Baseball is kind of, I think there's more worry about baseball just because they're not, you know, employing this bubble concept, and the bubble concept is definitely the safest, you know, tier of concept. It's like we have the NBA doing a bubble and MLS kind of doing a bubble too, and the NWSL. Then we have these sports like baseball and presumably the NFL too that are they have a ton of resources to test regularly and stuff, but they just can't, you know, possibly build a bubble. And then college sports are kind of the next tier after that. They just don't have the resources to do all the testing. So, I mean, I think the NBA is going to be a good test case to see how that comes off. But again, you know, we already saw, you know, MLS is starting in a week, and they just, one of their teams today just announced 6 positive tests inside the bubble. So, you know, all some of this sounds great. Some of it sounds great on paper. We'll see how it looks once it all gets going.
Henry, great stuff. Thank you for your time. Amazing job of reporting. Really appreciate it.
Appreciate it, Paul.
You got it. Fantastic report there, Henry Bushnell from Yahoo. We still have 30 minutes to go, and you're welcome to give us a ring when we come back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Stan is up next as we continue here on a Wednesday afternoon. Hey, Stan.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
I am great. Nice of you to call.
Yeah, listen, that guy earlier about the Black Lives Matter thing, you know, I'm 70 years old. I grew up in Inslee, okay? We support a local Christian school in Fairfield. It's primarily black,
right,
to try to give those kids over there a leg up on getting a good education that the city system doesn't give, you know. And there was a gentleman got up at lab. We go once a month and we have a luncheon over there, and there was a gentleman got up, was talking about opportunities for primarily black men to get jobs. He opened up a building there in Fairfield, renovated it, brought people in to train young and middle-aged black men, and the main problem that he had was none of them wanted to come and train because they were afraid of losing their benefits, government benefits. They didn't want to get a job. I just don't understand. I mean, Blue Cross Blue Shield has got a black CEO. Auburn, a black president. Birmingham, a black mayor. Black people have got more opportunities than they've ever had in my lifetime, because I mean, I was born in 1950, so I know what it was like back then, what it's like now. All those neighborhoods used to be fine, upstanding, middle class, beautiful homes, yards, Fairfield, Inslee, Midfield, West End, Huey Town, and now you go in all those places, there's nothing but houses falling in from disrepair. You know, it's sad that when they took over those neighborhoods, they all went in the toilet. You know, I guess I don't understand why black people are saying they don't have equal opportunity nowadays. I just don't get it. You got a comment on that?
I don't have an answer for you. I mean, I wish I did. Maybe someone else does. I-Man is up next. Hello, I-Man.
Good afternoon, Paul.
Hi there.
Excuse me. You said something yesterday that kind of sparked my attention. And you were talking to somebody, I can't remember. But you being Jewish was brought up. Can I honestly say something to you? I never once looked at you and wondered if you were a Jew, a Catholic, a Korean, an Albanian, or anything. You were Paul Feinbaum. And that's the way I see people. Unless you make me notice you because of something either exceptionally outstanding or exceptionally stupid. And then I tend to notice quite a bit. And, you know, kind of listening to that last caller, I'm getting kind of tired of hearing about all you white people. And I'm getting sick of it, to tell you the truth, because it's not all you white people. And when you make a statement like that, and that's your first statement, I don't even want to hear any more, because it's all racist at that point. If it's not concerning all of us, and that's all of us, then I don't want to hear it, because we're not fixing anything if we're not talking about all of us. Because there's I was listening to you earlier, and it was talking about the court system where was that? Knoxville? Wherever?
Nashville?
Yeah. I mean, you know, when you go to court, let me tell you, you can't walk in with this damn attitude. And we go into a lot of people's homes, and we see people as they really are. We see, especially this year, with the kids being at home, friends dropping by, all these, what's on TV, the language. Paul, let me tell you, smoking dope when strangers come into the house smoking weed is not a fear whatsoever. People live as they live. And there's sometimes you stand back and you're in these homes. And I'm talking about all colors. I'm talking about people. I'm not talking about any color. I'm talking about people. And you just sit there and you think, man, these kids don't have a chance. What's going on TV, the language being said in the house, the finger pointing, all the drugs. And there's strangers in the house. And, you know, until the attitude changes, I don't want to hear no more. And when I hear these athletes, especially the college athletes, you know, kind of throwing their dander up, I kind of get the situation seen on TV, and I understand that, and those things will be addressed. But do these kids understand the opportunities they're given to go to these schools, with the scholarships, where the tuition fees are? These kids couldn't afford that, most of them, because that's the stories we hear. And I know a lot of regular kids that want to go to school, and they can't afford it either. Their student loans through the ass and everything else. And then you throw in the athletic department, the weight rooms, the dietitians, and all these things going on. You couldn't hardly afford that at a gym out of your own pocket. So when all these people are saying, look at what you've done, yeah, look at the opportunities that are out there. They're out there if you'll get off your ass and take advantage of it, because I'm sick of people not taking advantage of it when it's sitting there. If I can do it, anybody can do it. Now, you have a good day, Paul Feinbaum.
Thank you very much, man. I do appreciate it. Keith is up next in South Carolina. Hello, Keith.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
I am well.
Paul, two for two. I had to call back. I called the full last call, and he had questions about the blacks. He said a local Christian group have a black family, black church members. All right, let me tell this fellow something here.
By the way, he was off to a good start until he went off the cliff.
Yeah, he went right off the cliff. I want to let him know something. If you want to know a perfect example of a racist, go look in the mirror and look at yourself. Because when you start going to that level, you went straight to the right. You went all right on that. Because I've worked as a public safety guy in fire service for over two decades before I retired. I've went in all different races, homes, different levels of community. It don't matter if it was a $1 million house or it was a $2 house. I've seen some great houses that was cost $1 million, and I saw some houses that cost in $1 million that weren't worth $2. Okay? Don't group people as one. Because I'm sure people can come to your house at a certain point in time and pick you apart. If you do something for someone, if you're doing it from your heart, don't get up and try to describe it. Do it and let it go. And you can probably say, well, I'm not a racist. Well, buddy, the first sign of a racist is, well, I'm not a racist. Because after that, you become a butt. Oh, y'all have a great day. I won't call back today. I'll sit back and listen. Enjoy the show, man. Have fun.
Kevin, thanks for calling. I deeply appreciate it.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.